Today, the subject is going to be about Lot. And I entitled this, Lots of Wine Leads to Lot's Sin. Lots of wine leads to Lot's sin. A lot of times in life, when we are going through things, when we have the things that went on in Lot's life, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot really didn't understand fully everything that was going on, and he left in fear. Matter of fact, before leaving, as Pastor Al was talking about this, the last few verses in chapter 19, not the last, but where he left off, mentioned that Lot was so slow until the angels had to grab him by the hand and rush him out. Because he says, you're holding up what God is about to do here. And it wasn't until when the angel had told Lot to leave and to go to the mountains, Lot said, can I go to Zoar? And so the angel said, go to Zoar. And for some reason, I really believe that he went there, but then he left. He left Zoar. A lot of times when God speaks to us, we don't really understand or we don't fully comprehend what God is about to do in our lives. A lot of times we question God. And sometimes God has to take us by our hands and say, come on, you got to go. I've heard people many times say, you know, I didn't want to go to church, but something within me just, it was like shouting, saying, you need to go. And then when they come, they're so glad that they've come. In the 30th verse of Genesis 19, it reads, then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he and his two daughters dwelt in caves. So even after saying to the angels, let me go to Zoar, I think what happened when he went to Zoar, he found that Zoar was just as evil as Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was probably afraid that, boy, he gets there and goes, these people are like the people that God is getting ready to destroy. And so he had already destroyed them. And so he left Zoar and went to the caves. He went to the first place where the angels had told him to go, get out. God is not going to do anything. And it wasn't until the following morning, making sure that Lot and his family were out, that the destruction of God came down. So his two daughters were with him. He was afraid, the scripture says, to dwell in Zoar. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. So there they were in a cave. Lot had begged the angels to give him a safe haven in that little city, a request they had granted to him. Lot did not even feel safe there. And again, it's like I said, he was probably afraid that God was going to destroy Zoar also, because even there in Zoar, there was evil. I read a little history about Zoar, and it was just as evil. And I'm surprised that God did not destroy Zoar also. But then when you think about the mercies of God, God could have destroyed the whole earth. But yet, his mercy and grace is greater than we can ever imagine. And I think it's so great and so wonderful until we become lax in our walk with God. We forget. Oh, God knows my heart, we say many, many times. And you know what? Before you know it, our lives are being destroyed by the enemy because, there's something to this thing about church. And it's not, again, it's not the building, but it's us. We are the body of Christ. And when we are together, there is strength. We have strength in one another. And it's not God, he didn't send his son, Jesus Christ, so that we may be loner Christians. But he made us a body. He made us all come together as one. And here, Lot is separated from mankind. Lot was told to go to the mountains because he, and live in a cave because God had put judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. In the 31st verse, it says, now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Lot's daughters decided to get their father drunk so to become pregnant. Why did they do that? Because seeing that their father was old and that there were no men around for them, they felt that they needed to do something to preserve the lineage of their father. And when you look at this, what a crazy idea that was. It was a horrible idea. It was a horrible sin that Lot's daughters had decided to commit. Some suggest that they believed that the whole world had perished with Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is what they thought. You know, the world was destroyed. There's no more men for us. And then I'm thinking about, well, there was Zoar. You just left a place there that had men. But maybe they weren't good looking. I don't know. For some reason, they didn't think about them. But yet, see, this is what happens when we get in our own mindset of things and how we, when we decide that we're no longer going to trust in God. And how many times from Genesis all the way to chapter 19, there's this thing, this theme. It's like, thus says God, but then thus said my wife. Or thus said this person over here, or thus said that person over there. And the thing that happens is that we become drunk. We become drunk by our own flesh, by our own ideas, and we follow what we think that is right. And then when we do it, then all of a sudden things are going wrong, and we're wondering why, and we cry out to God, oh God, why are the things happening the way they are? And a lot of times it's because we were intoxicated by our own ideas and what was right. Sometimes we can become so intoxicated with our own ideas until we cannot hear God. We cannot hear our brothers and sisters in Christ when they try to exhort us or to uplift us. And it's a sad thing. And this is what was going on. This was a very crazy idea, like I said. However, their brief time in Zoar was enough to show there were other people. Evidently, they decided it was the only thing to do under the circumstances except to trust God, which did not seem to occur to them at all. It seems that living in Sodom affected more than Lot. The effects were also clearly seen in the daughter. And you know what? This reminds me of the family life. We say that we are Christians. We say we love God. But are we showing this toward our kids? And when our kids grow up, are they emulating us? Are they doing the opposite of what we have taught them? Or are they not coming to church or believing in God because they didn't see it in us? So we have to really ask ourselves that question at times. You know, here I was, I'm a man of God, I'm a Christian, and my children have gone the total opposite way. Not saying that it's always our fault, but the majority of time it is our fault because we do not show trust in God. We do not show faith in God. And Lot, he didn't really have that much faith in God at all. And his daughters emulated that. They had been affected by the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot had since ceased trusting God. He was depending on his own skills. So his daughters followed suit. The Lord could have given them husbands, but they didn't understand the plan of God. The Lord wanted to bless them, but they didn't have faith. And see, and this is what it comes down to, faith. Do you trust the Lord? Do you believe that he is your God? Do you believe that he can take you out of certain situations, especially the situations that we put ourselves in at times, especially when the enemy comes upon us? Do we truly believe and trust in God? 33rd verse. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and laid with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Then they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger rose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. So again, let us make our father drink wine. Lot and his family lost everything in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Even so, they quickly have a stock of wine. They either brought this with them or they obtained it quickly while they were there in Zoar. This shows the priorities of the compromising heart. And see, and that's what we do a lot of times. We compromise. Lord, I don't know. It doesn't seem like you're going to do anything. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, you ever watch the old movies, the black and white? The guy comes home from work and he's stressed. What is the first thing he does when he steps into the house? He pours himself a drink. It's always pouring a drink. I notice these 30, 40, 50 movies. They come home. Oh, how was your day, honey? Oh, it was terrible. And they're pouring that drink. And see, what happens is we get used to certain lifestyles. We get used to doing these certain things. And we're not even realizing that our kids are watching this. We don't realize that our kids are they're going to emulate exactly what we're doing. And so the thing is, as my kids were growing up, I really wanted to show Christ in my life. I wanted to show them how real God was in my life. I wanted to show them my faith in God. And you know what? I have to tell you, I wasn't that great. But yet, I tried, you know. But, you know, one son is serving the Lord and one son is not. But I'll tell you this, I know this for one thing. I know that God knew my heart. And it wasn't the idea that I was excusing the things that I was doing. I wish I could tell you that, well, I'm glad to tell you that it wasn't horrible things that I was doing. But I will tell you this, that I did raise them up in the way of the Lord. But it wasn't perfect. And yet, I believe that God is yet going to save both my sons. I yet believe that. Because, see, this is where faith comes in. This is something that Lot did not show his daughters. Can you imagine? They were around Abraham. They could see what God was doing in his life. And for some reason, they didn't catch that. And sometimes it seems like we seem to catch the dirt more than we do the soap, you know? It seems like we end up doing the wrong things rather than doing the right things. And this is what he did. And he allowed the daughters, they got him drunk. And it kind of reminds me and asks me the question, you know, if he wasn't a drinker, could they have talked him into it or could he have done it? So a lot of times we have to really watch the path that we're going down because Satan is able to use that against us. 36 verse, thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The first bore a son and called his name Moab. His name means from father. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. His name means son of my kinsman. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. And you know what? And it's because of Lot's daughters, the decisions that made, that hasty decision that they made within those two nights created a seemingly never-ending situation for Israel. Their descendants will be enemies and obstacles of Israel. Lot's life was once filled with riches, but now it has ended in ruin in the past, the present, the future, all because of his love of the world. See, I really believe that when our minds and our hearts are in the Lord, that it's harder for us to sin. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but it's harder because our mind and our eyes are focused on Christ. It's not focused on myself. And see, when you hear the three pastors coming up and preaching every Sunday, different times, you know, what we're doing is like, this is what the Word of God says. And if we follow it, then we will not go the ways of Lot. We will not go the ways of his daughters. We will go the way of the Lord. And that is our whole thing, is to follow God and not ourselves or others who would probably mislead us. Their faith was so lacking. And we too can and have made mistakes that haunt us even to this day. What went wrong in these lives was their lack of faith in God. When looking at why one sins, we can trace it back to the lack of faith in God. Anytime you put anything before God, your faith in God will be the first thing lost. So instead of turning to God, Lot turned to alcohol, and his daughters used it against him. They knew while he was sober that he would not be able to, he wouldn't do it. They knew that they had to get him drunk. I can imagine them, hey, Dad, we came up with this idea. What's that? Well, you know, there aren't any men around, and we were just thinking, my sister and I, you know, Lot would have probably said, you know what, you're crazy, you're speaking foolishness. But what did they use? They used a tool that Lot was already involved with, and that was drinking. And they got him drunk. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of you in here probably don't know what it means to be drunk, right? I can honestly say I don't know what it looks like to be drunk, but I know what it looks like. And I tell you what, I didn't like it. I did not like it. I remember my relatives when we used to go to Oakland, they would have Sunday services in this little room called the bathroom, and they would be praying, "Oh God! I even heard Jesus save me." It was really some kind of revival that was going on behind those doors. It was because they had consumed so much. And now they're crying out to God. Now they're crying out that Jesus would save them. And you know, I can remember watching them the night before. And I was like, man, they're having so much fun. When I grow up, I want to do that too. But you know what? It was the morning that convinced me that I did not want to do that. That was the thing that convinced me. I was like, oh my goodness. To hear them in there screaming and crying and begging and pleading to God. It was almost every Sunday, so they were faithful. And one of the reasons that when we lose our faith, it is usually because of fear. And that's what Lot succumbed to. He succumbed to the fear, which, you know, I believe maybe he was drinking. I'll tell you what, faith, fear, and alcohol do not mix well together. This is at least one of the reasons that the world is troubled with alcoholism, nicotine, and drugs today. These are some of the tools that Satan uses to cut people off from God and their families. Instead of seeking God, they seek a substitute. And yet such substitutes always put one in bondage. With their situation, now there's the worse, and they're worse off than better off. And how quickly these things go from being a crutch to becoming a slave master. I do not believe that there's a person on this earth that is an alcoholic today said the first drink they said, well, here to become an alcoholic. I don't believe they did that. A lot of them, it's creeped up on them. I read one time where if a guy goes fishing every weekend and he drinks a six-pack of beer, he can become an alcoholic without even knowing it. Because he only does it when he fish. Then you got the guy who watched Sunday football and he's drinking all the games. Can you imagine if you put all the drinking that goes on during sports, baseball, you know, football, soccer, whatever, and you're drinking a beer each time, it sneaks up on you. And before you know it, you're a problem. You become a problem to the family, become a problem to yourself. People have lost their jobs. Why? What happened? They took something that at one time was giving them comfort. Now it's giving them problems. There's only one person that we can turn to that will always give us peace, and his name is Jesus Christ. You cannot find it in substance. You cannot find it in a cigarette. You cannot find it in dipping snuff. I remember one time I was with this guy, and he dropped his snuff can. It was such a pathetic sight. He was down on his hands and knees inside the car. He's on his knees, and I go, hey, what are you doing? Oh, man, I dropped my snuff. And he's brushing it off the seat into the can. And I go, oh, that is so pathetic. A grown man down on his knees scraping all that back in. And see, the thing is that we get so used to certain things. Sometimes it's television, it's radio, it's music, and sometimes it's everything but God. And this is what we had going on in Lot's life. It was everything but God. He had the fear. He had the wine. He had his daughters. And his daughters saw an opportunity to do an awful, awful thing. And you know what's sad? In their minds, it was the right thing to do because God had destroyed the world. There were no men. And if we're not careful, we will convince ourselves that the things that we thought or knew were wrong at one time, we can convince ourselves that it's okay. The Lord knows my heart. How many times have we heard that? He knows my heart. So thus, he will excuse my sin. We have to be very careful to not become slaves to the things of the world because Jesus has bought us with a price. We had communion today. And why did we have communion? Because Jesus Christ, he died for us. that we may be saved, that we may be free. As we look at all of this, we find the utter downfall of Lot and his family, which ends in his intense shame. Concerning this, McIntosh said this, "And then see his end. His own daughters make him drunk, and in his drunkenness he becomes the instrument of bringing into existence the Ammonites and the Moabites, the determined enemies of the people of God." What a volume of solemn instruction is here. Oh, my reader, see here what the world is. See what a fatal thing it is to allow the heart to go out after it. What a commentary is Lot's history upon the brief but comprehensive admonition. Love not the world. This world's Sodoms and Zoars are all alike. There is no security, no peace, no rest, no solid satisfaction for the heart therein. The judgment of God hangs over the whole scene, and he only holds back the sword in long-suffering mercy, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And see, and this is what we are seeing today, the patience of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Think about all the sins that are going on today. Think about all the killings and all the things that are happening in our lives. I mean, you can't even hardly turn on the television and you just see bad news. But I thank God through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that when I see him, I see peace. I have peace. Because when I see the world, it is so troubling. And if we're not careful, we can end up like Lot, allowing fear to move us, allowing ourselves to go to things that are substitute. God will not be a substitute anything. He has to be real in our life. He is not artificial. He is real. And we need to live as people of God who says that my God is real. And it's got to be more than words. It has to be that very thing that we do. He is our God. I believe that Lot and his daughters knew about God, but they did not know how to trust in God. Does that sound like some of us today? We know about God. We come to church, we read, and we hear his word, and yet we do not know how to trust in God. We may believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he rose from the dead, but do we trust in him who died for us? We may all say, "Jesus, I believe, but I do not trust in you." When we turn away from trusting in Christ and start trusting in ourselves, we give birth to Moabites and Ammonites, and all hell breaks loose. Why? Because we have turned from God and replaced him with the wine called flesh. When the believer keeps his faith anchored in the cross, everything comes into proper perspective. When his faith is moved to other things, then everything is out of place. And yet, when we trust in Jesus, everything comes back into place. Everything comes into place. One can see in this picture of so many modern Christian families. These girls knew about God, but they were far more influenced by the evil of Sodom than they were by the righteousness of heaven. In fact, their very position proclaimed where their attachments were. What they did, they said, "I believe in God." And a lot of times we'll do that, but yet when we look at our lives, does our life emulate what we say that we believe in? Do we truly believe in God? Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Do we believe he's the answer of everything in my life? And if we believe, then it's like Paul said, why is there so much war among you? Why is it that we say, "Lord, I believe you died on the cross. I believe that you rose again. I believe that you sat on the right hand of the throne of God, but I don't think you can heal my marriage. I don't think you could touch my kids. I don't think that you could change my heart." See, a lot of times we say we believe, but do our lives reflect what we say that we believe? There's a lot of us that get up every morning to go to work. Why? Because you believe that if you don't show up, you will get fired. You're motivated by that. Now the question is this: what motivates you to go to church? What motivates you to become a servant of God? What motivates you to get in his word? What motivates you to reflect the image of Christ? What motivates us? And sometimes I have to say we fall so short of being motivated by the Holy Spirit of God. We have within our lives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, a lot of us, we do not show it. We do not show what God is doing in our lives. We do not live what God is doing in our lives. Whenever I'm around a bunch of police officers, you know what all I hear? I hear about this arrest. I hear about this. I hear about... When I'm around soldiers, you know what I hear about? I hear about combat. I hear about training. When I'm around ladies or whatever they're talking about, and I don't always know what they're talking about, but the thing is, you hear the conversation. But what is our conversation? What are we talking about? Are we talking about the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we telling people about what he has done in my life? Are we talking about the change that he's made in my life? Are we saying that it is God who is the main factor in my life? Are we saying those things? Lot saw, I'm sure he saw, what God was doing in the life of his uncle. And it doesn't seem that he took it on. And that reminds me of us today that we sit in church and we hear the word of God, we hear the gospel preached, but do we live it? Do we really go out there? Do our souls ache to tell others about Jesus Christ? Is it a burning desire in our hearts to see other people come to Christ? And see, and that's the question that I really believe that the Holy Spirit is always knocking at the door of our hearts. So yet we see the modern Christian family, and sometimes the model of the Christian family is not a good model to the world. We say we believe, but we don't live as believers. As stated before, how many modern Christians fall into the same category? The answer is sad, that a lot of people fall into the category of, I believe, but I don't live it. A pastor once wrote this, I occasioned to know of a terrible problem which had risen in a particular family. I suggested to them that they take it to the Lord, especially considering that they loudly proclaimed themselves to be good Christians. We have two prayer meetings a day at the ministry, and I was hoping they would come to the prayer meetings, at least the ones around which they could arrange their schedule. The response was tepid, to say the least. Some days later, it was related to me that the dear lady had actually said in response to my invitation, I just don't get anything out of it. That's a strange statement coming from a Christian. What in the world did she mean? That she got nothing out of seeking God? Did she mean that she did not want to pray with us? Or was she meaning that God didn't answer prayer? Consequently, it was a waste of time. I don't know the answer to these questions. I only know her response. I also know that in the not too distant future, the thing of which she was greatly concerned went into total wreckage with all type of sorrow and heartbreak. As three pastors, we have seen this many, many times. People come to us. We care so much about every last one of you. Our hearts go out to you. And when people come to us with problems, we take the time to pray with them. We take the time to counsel with them. We take the time to love them. We take time for you. And we don't do it so that you can look at us and say, wow, you guys are so awesome. Because I'll tell you what, I've tried this. I can't walk on water. None of us can walk on water. But what we are trying to do is to teach you the love of God. This is why we teach the word of God. This is not a sensational ministry. This is a word of God ministry. And so oftentimes, when we do these things and we talk to people and we try to encourage them. You know, hey, we have Bible study, we have Sunday service, we have marriage counseling going on Fridays. We tell them all these things. And like this pastor, he noticed nothing happened. It was almost like, you know, it's a waste of time. I don't need to do those things. And all we can do is do what Abraham did as he stood afar off and he was watching the smoke of destruction. That's all we can do at times. Just watch the smoke. And it's not the idea that God did not answer. It's not the idea that God was not there. It's not the idea that God couldn't hear. It's the idea of the condition of our hearts. It's the idea that we didn't really believe. Because I'll tell you what, when you're really hurting, when you really are in need, you come to services because you want to get more of the Word of God. You want to hang around successful people in the Lord. And what I mean by successful people, people who depend on the Lord. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. But you know what? It is our duty as your pastors to say, hey, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It is our duty to tell you that. Because if we don't, you can go the way of Lot and his daughters, doing something really bad that will haunt you for the rest of your life. Just like Israel. Israel is haunted to this day. Not to this day, I'm sorry. To the time that Moses was writing the book, the five books. The Moabs, the Amorites. They were the children of Lot. And when they were out in the wilderness, there were times when the children of Israel was coming in the part of Ur, you know, God says, you can't touch them. Because they are the children of Lot. And when they crossed over to the land of the Amorites, you can't touch them because they are the children of Lot. I will not give you the possession of their land. And God didn't give it to them. And you know what? They were a thorn in the side of Israel. So was Ishmael. His descendants were a thorn. And these all happened because of wrong decisions. And so what I'm saying is there are things that happen in our lives because of the wrong decisions that we've made. And like I said before, and one of the things we try to do, we try to get God or convince God to bless our mess. And the best we can do is say, Lord, I know I messed up, but I'm going to continue to trust in you. I'm going to get in the right path. I'm going to follow you and stop following myself. As I've already stated, it is a matter of faith. It is our faith anchored in the cross. Or is it anchored elsewhere? We as believers, we are taught to be sober-minded, to be sober in all things. And a lot of times we are not sober-minded. A lot of times we're not doing the things of God. A lot of times we're like the daughters who gave birth to enemies. And that's what we're doing at times. We're giving birth to problems that is going to make our walk in Christ even that much more tougher. I don't need help to have problems. I make problems myself. But see, the thing is, it's like we really have to put our minds on God. We really have to trust in the cross. If we say that we love Jesus Christ, then we must walk as one who is a part of him. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. Not by the ideas of men, not by the ideas of what's clicking today. Churches like ours, and I'm not saying that we're the only right ones, that we're on the corner block, but I'll tell you what, anytime you go to a church that preaches the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, the Word, and there is no entertainment, there is no, not a lot of zip-zap going on, a lot of people go, that's a dead church. You know, and I'll tell you what, a lot of times when you're in those kind of churches, it's the church of the living dead because they're dead to the Word of God. They're dead. I heard Chuck Smith one time said this. He goes, a lot of churches preach from the Bible, but they do not teach the Bible. And see, and that's the whole thing. You may say you know God, but do you live in God? And see, and this is what makes us different than the world. This is what separates us from the world. This is because I'll tell you, people, churches are falling all around us. They're falling. And what I mean by falling, they're falling in one way and growing in another way. They're falling to the ways of the world, and because of that, they're growing. And guess what they're getting? Cash. They're getting that money. And that's unfortunately what some pastors are looking more to. It's getting more money. How many people we have. I can't tell you how many times I run into a pastor or someone and go, yeah, I have a doctorate and I have this many people going to my church and we make this much money and we even have the point where, you know, I mean, we, you know, they're playing the stocks and everything. And this is God blessing us. And in the meantime, people are dying spiritually. We are more concerned about the spiritual walk than we are about anything else, because it is the word of God that gives us life. It is the word of God. I love it what the psalmist says, your word, O God, is the lamp unto my feet. You want to be led out of problems? Be led by the Holy Spirit, because it is his word that will lead you and guide you out of that. See, when I was looking at the story of Sodom, of Lot and his daughters, and I was looking at them, I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, how am I going to bring a message out of that? You know, I was like, wow. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. He says, I'll give you what to say. You know, I'm going off my notes too, but it's amazing what God will do if you trust in him. See, I could have just stood here and just read and read and read and read and read and read. But you know what? Sometimes God, he has a message for us. And I really believe that the message is that he wants your faith and my faith to grow stronger in him. He wants your faith to be so mighty and so strong that it will affect, you will become infectious. Instead of passing coals around, you're passing the Spirit of the Lord around, and they can see and feel. When you walk into a room, they can just feel the presence of God, not because you're God, but because you are the vessel of God. How many of you have experienced a time when something horrible was going on in your life and a godly person steps in? What a difference. What a change. And so it comes down, are we representing God? Are we drunk in ourselves? Are we intoxicated by the things of our life? Are we so intoxicated by the world that when we come in, we truly don't hear what the word of God is saying to our hearts? We are to be sober-minded. Paul, when he was talking to Titus, he was telling Titus to be hospitable, a lover of what is good, to be sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled. And that should be the very thing that stick out of us more than anything, as a people of self-control. And the only way I can be self-control is when I allow God to be in control. But if I'm trying to do it myself, then we're going to fall in the ways of Abram and Sarai and Lot, the ones that made those mistakes. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that we've done in the past that may haunt us today, but I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ can give you peace about it. And all you have to do is trust. That's it. Just trust. You don't have to cut your wrist. You don't have to kill the fatted calf. You don't have to build a statue to whatever your problem is. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is trust in the Lord and allow him to guide you. In 1 Peter, Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, now listen to this. He says this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully within the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up your mind. Put your mind on the things of God. Put your mind in him, because it is through him that we have hope. Nothing can give us hope except Jesus Christ. It is the cross that gives us hope. It is the idea that the tomb is empty. It is the idea that our Lord and Savior sits on the right hand of the throne of God and he's coming back again. Oh God, I don't want to be like Lot. I don't want to be like the daughters doing something crazy and stupid and doesn't make sense. People who drink, and we see all these things. Oh God, line me up with your word that I may walk before you upright as a righteous man. And if a woman, a righteous woman. And this is what we should be really going for. Because you know what? A lot of wine made Lot sin. And a lot of the things of this world, if we're not careful, will make us sin. We will fall flat on our face. If I'm going to fall flat on my face, may it be I'm falling flat on my face to give him praise and worship and honor and glory, and not because I tripped over the things of life, because I was so intoxicated by it. Colossians 3, verse 2 and 3, says this: set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So if my life is hidden in Christ in God, then I should not be worried about my past. I should be thinking about my future in Jesus Christ. I hope you're there today. I hope you're in the mindset is that, you know what? Yeah, I did some dumb and stupid and awful things in the past, but you know what? Today, my future is in Jesus Christ. I heard a man say one time, oh, I don't want to be like my dad. I don't want to be like my dad. And you know what? The day came, he's like his dad. And someone said to me one time, you know what? Sometimes we're like our dad. I said, you know what? I'm trusting in God. He's going to change my DNA. I'm going to have his DNA. And see, this is what we have to do. Make a stand. Stop standing for the wrong things and begin to stand for the right things of God. Because this is where he wants us. He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me. He wants a true relationship. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to believe in him. So much so until our lives begin to reflect it and show it. And lastly, Psalms 26:2. And this should be our prayer. And even when we were doing communion, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. It takes a lot of guts to be able to go to God and say, Lord, examine me, prove me, search my heart. Because if there's something in there that shouldn't be, I pray, O Lord, don't remove me, remove it. We have hope in Jesus Christ. Let's begin to live as people of hope. Let's not be intoxicated by what is going on in life to the point we're stumbling in our walk in Christ. But let us become sober-minded by allowing God to search our hearts, to be strong, to be full of courage, and to walk in the image of our God and not in the image of Lot, who doubted. Amen? Amen. Father God, I thank you so much for all you've done. I thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given us, Lord. A lot of times, Lord, we don't understand some of the things that happen in your word, and yet, Lord, you dared put that in there, Lord, to show the sin, Lord, that had happened because a man's faith was not on you. But, Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that our faith will be on you, that we, Lord, will see you. That, Lord, that you will constantly reveal yourself to us, O Lord. That, Lord, that we may not go the way of Lot and his daughters, Lord, but we may go the way of your Son, Jesus, Lord. May we take on his image. May we look to you as our hope, because, Father God, there is no hope here. When I look around, I see no hope. But when I look up to you, my mind becomes sober and my heart begins to rejoice because my Redeemer lives, not only in heaven, but in our hearts. We thank you, Father, for all you've done. Bless us this day, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.